You guys, we have already decided we're going to add one more thing next year. I don't know if you heard about this or not. We're going to, since this is going so well, we're just going to keep adding stuff to Christmas Eve. And one of the guys in church and I were talking before this service. I mean, it's just a God moment was had that we realized there's a need, and we could help one another meet it. And so next year, Christmas Eve at midnight after the services, then. All the men will gather together to wrap presents for each other, to help each other out. So, because none of us, no men have wrapped anything at this point, right? Yeah. Troy, don't say you have. We don't want. Okay, good. I didn't want to call you out. So, exercise church discipline on you or something. Hey, thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate you being here, and we're glad that you would make it out. Man, the first service was packed, so packed we had to get chairs out and all that kind of stuff. So fun nights when we get to do that and worship Jesus together doing it. So pretty awesome stuff. And, you know, just getting to see people's hearts stirred for Jesus on Christmas Eve is a pretty awesome thing. Had some pretty awesome conversations afterwards, too. So God's just up to some cool stuff around here. And in everywhere, let's just face it. But it's cool when you get to recognize it, and especially when it's around you. You know, just getting to see it, get to be a part of it, kind of sitting on the sidelines is such a blessing. It's a blessing for me. So anyway, just cool. tonight I'll share a couple things. Let me make mention of this just before I forget it. There's no services tomorrow. We felt led to do what we're doing tonight, do two services tonight, allow families to be together on Christmas morning. It just seemed like the right thing to all of us. I think we all just unanimously were like, yeah, that's what we should do, you know. And then next Sunday is actually New Year's Day, the first of the year of 2017. Isn't that crazy? That's nuts. Which will mark, you know, one day before, was it 13 years we've been doing this? Will it be 13 then? 12. Is it 12? Sure? I don't know. 11. Penny, no, I don't know. It's an anniversary for the church. I don't know which one it is. Obviously, I don't know. So that's next week. But anyway, next weekend, there will be one service on New Year's Day, and that will be at 10 a.m. So just mark that down and remember that for next weekend. Kind of cool. But just doing kind of a little something different. Oh, we got a nice little, look at that. 1-1-1-1-1. It's like the, you know, it's like the Sunday kind of deal. All right. Bill Goodman's Gun and Knife Show or the Monster Truck Rally, either one. Same guy gets to do all those commercials. I want that job. If that guy, something happens to that guy, and you guys, somebody has a connection, let me know. I think I could do it. Man, do I digress. Tonight, I want to share with you about the greatest rescue of all time. One of the things that I get to hear, this is a blessing on my part, because I enjoy it. At the same time, I know it's hard for them sometimes to share. But I get to be close friends with a lot of the soldiers who end up living around here and coming to our church and that kind of thing. And a lot of them share stories of things that they've been through. Many of them have shared stories of and they don't do it for this, but for medals that they've won and things like that when they've been in battle, for things they've had to do, some many times not things they've wanted to do. And then sometimes for many of them, for winning, you know, or receiving, I should say, medals and honor for the people that they have saved in many of those instances. Sometimes fellow soldiers, or whatever it is. And it's just, it is absolutely amazing to hear some of those things and you know, how God brought them through those things and brought them out. And for the guys that have trusted in the Lord with their life, they'll tell you, you know, that God's brought them through those things. You know, we're fascinated with the idea of the rescue. You know, we're fascinated with the thought. Like somebody, if one of those guys is standing here tonight, and he was telling us the story and most of them won't, by the way, tell you those stories outright. First of all, they don't want you to think that they think highly of themselves for doing those things. They just see it as what they're supposed to do. But, you know, if they were and they were willing to tell those stories, I mean, we'd be on the edge of our seat just getting to listen in on something, you know, that you never really get to hear about, but is happening, you know. And, you know, when we hear that, what we love in those stories is we love hearing the rescue. And, you know, the greatest rescue of all time is what Christmas is about. It is about the fact that God sent a baby to die. You know, and the idea, Emmanuel, God with us, you know, that God would send a little baby to die. I mean, that just blows our minds. And tonight, I want to read with you this passage, this story of Jesus coming. And maybe you've never heard it before. If you've never heard it, then tonight it'll be a treat. And if you have heard it before, it'll still be a treat because you'll be reminded of what God has done and how he went about doing it. Let's read this together. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it says this, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world shall be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town." Now, by the way, this whole registration thing, this was over taxes, because it's the government, and we know how they roll, right? Okay? So we'll come back to that for just a second. And it says, "And Joseph," verse 4, "and Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it has been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." What an amazing turn of events. So, you know, just happened to be that there was a registration because the government needed their money. They wanted to get their cut. And so, sure enough, just like seems like people from Texas don't want to give up their car tags or their driver's license or whatever it is. You ever notice that? People from Texas, just they just want to hang on to the car tags. They'll keep doing that. And I told that in the first service, and I had people come and confess that in the first service that tonight, you know, yeah, I've still got Texas tags. But, you know, and just like people from a place, you know, that have to go back, you know, to where they have to vote or whatever it is, same kind of deal. Here, Joseph, although they were living in Nazareth, was from Bethlehem. So when it came time for him to be registered, he had to go back to Bethlehem. So he goes to Bethlehem and he's taking his family with him. He's taking Mary with him. Mary's pregnant. They go, you know, you think, oh, you know, it just kind of just so happened. You know, this is what happened. You know, it's, you know, God making, you know, lemonade out of lemons, whatever. Well, not quite. Not quite. This is all part of a plan. And I love this about God. I love being reminded over and over with Him through things like this, that if you go back through Scripture, you'll find, go to Malachi, and you'll find the telling of the Messiah coming in Bethlehem. It's not an accident. It's part of the plan. By the way, I love, you know, there's a lot of people love, I enjoy having a plan. I like having a plan. I like kind of knowing what's coming. But at the same time, I and other people around me have been, you know, told that we're more of like the gunslinger type, if you will, you know. And you know, just kind of go with the flow and whatever's happening, you know, kind of just do it as it comes. And I do. I like that, some of that too. The truth is that God has this ultimate plan. And I love like the type A personality people. Some of you are in here right now, and like you've already got planned the rest of tonight. You wrapped presents like a week ago or a month ago, or you just go, yeah, all right, we see you're back there. That's okay. God uses you too. And it's amazing. You know, see, God put you in with Penny in His ministry, and He'd tell you that. That's a blessing for Him. You know, but the funny thing is like those people who, you know, they want to know everything. They've already got 2017 planned out, you know. Well, here's the funny thing. I like, as one of those gunslinger types who's kind of like, you know, I like a plan, but I'm not like, you know, I'd be married to it or whatever. You know, as one of those people, I love the fact that there's these people that love to have a plan, but God has a plan, and He doesn't let you know what it is all the time, and that drives those people crazy, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know, so like when something comes along, we're like, well, this wasn't in the plan. What are we going to do now? You know? God has a plan. God has a plan, and Scripture teaches us that God sent Jesus to die at the right time for the ungodly. It says that in the Bible. So maybe you showed up tonight because like your family member or somebody, and they're like, oh, we're going to this, you know, Christmas Eve thing. You know, you ought to come because it's Christmas and people are supposed to go to church on Christmas morning. Hey, we're glad you're here either way. But let me just tell you something. If you thought that Jesus only came for perfect people, I'm here to tell you that Scripture teaches us He came to die for the ungodly, which, by the way, if you didn't know, we all are. Every single one of us. We all need Jesus. And there's nothing so bad or so terrible or so heavy in your life that the blood of Jesus isn't enough to cover it. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe in Him and trust in Him to be who He said He is and done what He said He's done and all those things. God sent Jesus for a reason. And that reason was for Him to die. That's hard for us to imagine. We hear the story of Jesus, you know, baby and the manger and, you know, and all that stuff. And, you know, we get caught in that, man. It's, you know, such a beautiful story. You know, I'm sure it wasn't that beautiful. I mean, I've been in the room when babies were had now five times and about to go on six here in the next week and a half. You know, and so, you know, but, yeah. And, you know, it's beautiful in a way. In some ways, it's not. I'm just telling you. You know, I've seen my wife tell people things that I've never seen her tell people in her life. You know, and I can just imagine, like, here's Mary and what? Like a donkey sitting there or something? I don't know. That seems weird to me, but whatever. And so, you know, we get in our mind this, like, beautiful picture. But, you know, here's the truth. It is beautiful baby boy that God sent into the world to give Him up, that He would die. You know, we've got a family in our church this week who they had a baby about a week ago, premature. Been a lot of complications along the way with the pregnancy and things, and they've just really had to watch her. And then finally had to have the baby. And there was a point this week, Tuesday, where his heart stopped beating. I got that message, and I shared that message. We have a covenant members page. I shared that on that page, just asking people to pray. And I could just feel, I felt it with me. I felt it with everybody around me that knew what was going on. Like that in that moment, we were all just like, just hold your breath and pray that God will take care of that baby. Because the last thing we want to happen is for that baby to die. By the way, that baby is doing great today. Praise God. But God sent his son to die for us. And that's an amazing thing. You know, and we can think about him as being the baby. We can think about him as the full-grown man. But at the end of the day, he's the same guy who came with all the love of the world to change the world. That if we would believe in him, we would have everlasting life. I want to read you this other passage. There's a lot to this passage in Luke, and I'd love to talk out all of it. And the truth is, if you hadn't been with us, I talked about the shepherds. I did that passage here about a week or two ago. You go back and listen to that message, and I loved getting to teach about that. I'd love to tell you more about it tonight because the shepherds are awesome. You know, I mean, just in a nutshell, even just thinking about, you know, here's God revealing himself to these guys. And it's not like the most important guys in society, you know, or whatever. It's just some guys, some regular guys out tending sheep. And he takes shepherds and tells them to go see the guy who's going to be the great shepherd. You know, I mean, there's so much to that. I mean, unpacking it all and all this stuff, and they get scared, and, you know, the angels and the craziness with all that and the singing in the heavens. But I want you to read this passage with me out of Galatians chapter 4 real quick. Galatians 4, verse 4, says this. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This passage is amazing. I mean, it is amazing. It first of all, it points out that God sent this baby, his son, into the world, born of a woman, that he would come in under what? The law, right? And why? Because we were under the law. I mean, really, let's kind of take a step back from this. You know, we're used to like what we know in 2016 of Jesus and what God has done through him for the world. But the truth is at that point in time, you know, they're looking for a Messiah to come. And at that point, they're like, well, I got to keep everything straight because if I don't, you know, I'm out of luck. You know, me following God is keeping all the rules. I got to keep the law. Well, I mean, let's just take a piece of the law. Let's just go with the Ten Commandments. And who's kept that? Well, nobody's kept that. Because we're a bunch of silly sinners. And we mess up. And we can't keep the law. So what do? We're in a pickle. God knew this and he saw this and he said, you know what? I got a plan, had a plan from the beginning, I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to send my son to come under the law, and he will be the one to keep the law, so that when the time is right, he would die for us and be the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God who could die for our sins. That's pretty amazing. I mean, for no other reason, it's amazing because the fact that God would love us and he would want to help us get rid of our sin. I mean, the very things that break his heart, you know, our sin, that he would step in and say, well, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to make a way where we can do away with that. But not only did Christ come that we might find a way around keeping the law because we couldn't do it, but also that we would be made family. It says that we would be made sons, and in other places, sons and daughters. That we would be adopted into the family. And if you look at Paul's wording here, and this is, I think it's important for us to remember, at that time, slavery was a normal thing. And so a lot of people had slaves. And, you know, a lot of people had, you know, people like that working for them. And so, you know, who a slave was and who a family member was, that was two completely different things. And Paul says here, he says in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of God, of His Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So Paul is telling, and for these people to hear this, this is like earth-shattering for them. Because he's given the two opposite ends of the spectrum. He's saying, God is wanting to take you from slavery to head of the table at the family reunion, right? I mean, and it doesn't get any better to hear anything than that for the one who created us, who loves us, who sent His Son for us. But the truth is that slavery thing isn't just, you know, some metaphor thing, you know, for that. It's talking about much more. It's talking about that we would be free from sin. That we would no longer be slaves to sin. Maybe you've got that thing in your life that you struggle with continuously and you go, you know, I'm never going to get rid of that. Never going to get past that. That's always going to haunt me. I'm always going to struggle. That's why I can't be a Christian. I've had people tell me, they're like, Chris, I can't trust in Jesus to be my Savior right now because I've got to get some sin out of my life first. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you can't. You can't. You're a slave to it. We need Jesus to free us from sin. And when that happens, man, it is like breathing fresh air in a way that we never have before. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He's saying, I want you to partake in the inheritance of my kingdom. Boom. That's the greatest estate sale that has ever happened. And the greatest part is it's not for sale. We just get to take part of it. We get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of the family. From slave to family, from prisoner of sin to freedom from it. If you're here tonight and you've been thinking, you know, I know I need to follow God. I know I need to believe in Jesus. Or maybe you haven't known what to do. You just know that there's something missing. I want you to know this. It's real simple. Don't make it harder than it is. It really is. Have you believed in Jesus? Have you trusted in Him? He wants to change your life. He wants to lead you. You're like, Chris, I'm not even sure where to start. Look, the believing part is where to start. The trusting and all that will come from that. One step at a time. You're not going to figure it out overnight, but here's the beautiful thing, is that you come into a family of people that love you and care for you and want to help you. When we think about rescuing people, we think about all kinds of people, soldiers, first responders, all those folks. And man, I'm so thankful for those folks. But I think for us to recognize that the greatest rescue of all time happened when God sent that little baby boy born in a manger, that he would grow up and allow us to hang him on a cross and kill him. And that his blood would be shed for our sin, that we could find forgiveness if we trust and we believe. But, you know, here the story doesn't end there. We kill him, but then he defeats death, and he comes back. And in his defeating death, he didn't just defeat death for him. He defeated death for us, that we might live forever with him. That's an amazing thing. What God has done, he has done for all. For anyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christmas is about the greatest rescue of all time. And if you would like to talk about that, we'll hang out tonight afterwards as long as we need to. Pray with you, talk with you, and beyond tonight. However we can minister to you and helping you to understand and answer questions. And it's a journey for all of us. None of us have all the answers, but we come together to try to seek what they are. The greatest rescue of all time is what we celebrate tonight. Let's pray together.